go back to the Psalms. I've been enjoying spending a summer in the Psalms. It's the first time I've ever spent the summer in the Psalms. And it's been great. We have a few more weeks left of summer. Yes, it's August, and after family camp, it always seems like and feels like summer is basically over, right? It won't be long. The kids will be going back to school. When does Haley start school, guys?
25th.
The 25th. So a few weeks away before school is back in session for the kids. But we do have a few more weeks of summer in the Psalms. I was going to read part of the psalm for this morning at the beginning of the service, and lo and behold, I forgot. It was there probably, wasn't it, Derek? Yep, it was there. I forgot. Chapter 33, Psalm 33. And I want to start by reading for you the first three verses, because probably should have read them earlier. They fit really well before the song service. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Well, we don't have a harp. We don't have a 10-stringed lyre. Anybody even know what a 10-stringed lyre is? It's a string instrument. That's all I know. And I'm guessing it has 10 of them. So it's a lot more than my stringed instrument that I have. I only have 4. 10-stringed lyre. What he's saying is, use what you have and sing praise to the Lord. Use those instruments. Use it. We could have a 10-string lyre probably on this thing. It probably has the sound. I'm not sure what that would be. Use the drums, use the bass, use the songs, use the music. And he says to sing to Him a new song. That doesn't mean you can't sing old songs, but it says sing to Him a new song. In other words, keep your relationship, keep your worship fresh. Keep it something new. Play skillfully, okay. That's why I didn't play on the hymn. Because I'm not so skillful on the hymn. And you know what? There are bands that are better. I'm sorry to break it to you guys, but there are bands that are better. And we probably go to concerts and pay to watch them. But you know what? Your praise team gets together and we practice and we use the skills that God's given us to the best of our abilities. And then he says, and shout for joy. I don't hear too much shouting very often in church anymore. There used to be a day where I'd hear some shouting once in a while. In fact, there was a song we used to sing back probably in the early 90s. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. I haven't heard that song in a while. Because it goes into six sharps? That's good enough reason for me. When you have to play everything on the black keys, that's... Ooh. That's really confusing. But anyway, shout for joy. This ought to be a place of joy. When we come into God's house and when we worship Him, we ought to be lifting up shouts of joy. And that doesn't always mean that you yell. Sometimes you can shout joy with the expression on your face. Isn't that true? You can shout the lack of joy, that doesn't shout joy to me. Are you hearing that, Dave? It didn't sound like Morse code or anything. But you can shout joy with the look on your face and the way you treat people and the way you welcome people and the way that you come to worship expecting great things. Shout for joy. Well, let's go on and read the rest of the psalm. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. And how much that he does, is he faithful? That's in most things. In some things, he's faithful. Some of the times, he's all the time, right? He is always faithful. Verse 5, the Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. Don't you wish our politicians could figure that one out? No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. You know, at times, this very psalm, especially around verse 12 and following, has been used in a way to engender and build patriotism, to say, God bless the USA. But you know what? The United States of America, as much as we love our nation, is not the chosen people of God. Sorry. Not sorry. It's just not, we are not the chosen people of God. In fact, today, I believe that the chosen people of God are not even a physical country with political borders. The kingdom of God, I believe, is present everywhere that God is with the people. The kingdom of God is everywhere, it's present everywhere, wherever the people of God are gathered, no matter where on earth they may be. Whether it be in a church in Coriopolis, Pennsylvania, or if it be in a subway station in Ukraine, or it be in a home in China, or whether it be a cave in Iran, wherever the people of God are gathered together for worship, that is the people of God. That is the kingdom of God. It's the place where God is our King, and we worship Him only this morning, because only He is worthy of worship. Praise His holy name. Well, we hear about kings. We don't have a king, obviously, in the United States of America. But kings come to power in different ways. And in our day, not many true kings that have all the political power and clout like they once did, it still exists. There was a time kings pretty much ruled with an iron fist, and anything they said happened. If you pleased the king, then you might be rewarded. And if you didn't, you might be put to death. Off with your head. That kind of thing. We don't hear about that much anymore, but the power and the title for a king is often handed down through bloodlines, relatives. Even today, There's talk about how the succession is going to work in England when Queen Elizabeth passes. And even though the monarch in England doesn't really have the power they once did, there's still a lot of talk about who will be succeeding her as the monarch. And they'll probably have a king for the first time in a long, long time. Well, what's the nature of a kingdom? Well, a kingdom is a place where there's one ruler, the king. He rules. The king or the queen provides and protects their people and their kingdom. The king is the defender and ruler over the people. Well, let's look at some basic background, a little bit of background to this psalm that we read this morning. The psalm moves from the past into the present and looks finally to the future. And here's what we see in this psalm. In the past, God was faithful. God provided for His people, and He was worthy of their praise. And then it comes into the present, and what do we find out? You know what? That God who was faithful then, He's still faithful now. And He's still worthy of praise now. And then it moves on into the future. And because we know that God was faithful in the past and God is faithful in the present, we can trust that God is going to be faithful in the future. Through it all, no matter what has happened or what may yet happen, God, our King, is always on the throne. He doesn't step aside for earthly rulers. He doesn't step aside for earthly strongholds. God is still on the throne. Folks, the truth of the matter is every generation that ever has been, every generation that ever will be, has reason for praising God for all that He does. Well, what's the situation of this particular psalm? You'd go to the next, Derek. The situation of this psalm, we really don't know for sure who the author of this psalm is. I've told you before that many of the psalms were written by David. You know that to be true. King David wrote a lot of music, a lot of the songs. And there's some speculation that this may be a psalm of David, but it doesn't really say. Now, there's one old translation called the Septuagint, and in the Septuagint, they say this is a psalm of David. So there's speculation that it may be a psalm of David, but the truth of the matter is the situation of the writing is really a little bit ambiguous. We don't really know what was going on in the life of the people of Israel at the time, but clearly this is a song that was intended to be used in worship. It was a song that was used by the people of God when they gathered together, and it is a song of praise. I almost can't say a song of praise without saying hallelujah. There's an old hymn that ends with that. The song of praise, hallelujah. Giving praise to God is one of my favorite things to do. And we can praise God in many different ways. Just yesterday morning, I woke up early and I went downstairs and I got a cup of coffee. And I took my laptop, because that's what I use to do my devotions, and I went out on the deck on the back porch, and the sun was just beginning to color the clouds off to my left. I didn't do a whole lot of reading for a while. Just kind of sat there with a cup of coffee and turned my chair so I could watch that sunrise. And I wished they'd cut down some of those trees so I could have had a better view of it. But what a beautiful sunrise. And as I watched that beautiful sunrise, all the struggles and problems of this life seemed so small in comparison to the God who created that sunrise. And I sat there in awe of our God, and I just praised Him for who He is. We can praise Him in those kind of settings. We can praise Him through prayer and contemplation. We can praise Him with the words of our mouths. We can praise Him with the actions of our lives. One of the church's favorite ways to praise Him, though, is through singing. And I love when the church sings. Praise brings the presence of heaven, of God, down to earth. David says in Psalm 22:3, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." In other words, the praises of Israel were the place where God was able to sit. One way to translate that is to say He inhabits or dwells in the presence of His people, in the praises. It's the verse that we get that. He inhabits the praises of His people. When we praise Him, the glory of God comes down and fills this place. Aren't you thankful for that? Well, new experiences are a reason for praise as well. God gives us all kinds of new experiences in life, doesn't He? Becoming a grandma. Isn't that a great reason to praise God? It's a great experience. It's way better than being a parent. Because you can give them back. It's an awesome thing, the experiences we go through. God is the reason that we live and that we have an abundance of life. Every new experience that we have blends into the tapestry of life that God is creating in all of us. They're gifts of God. Well, one of the things this song talks about is the perfection of God. By His very nature, God is worthy of our praise. He's perfect and He's holy. And He's wholly other than us, than humanity. It means He's wholly different. And yet, He desires to have an intimate relationship with us. That ought to just make you want to shout right there. That God is that great and awesome and different and wholly other than us. Yet He desires to have an intimate relationship with every one of us. And we can be friends of God. And when I think about that, it just blows my mind. The whole nature of God is perfect. And only God is perfect. And He sets the standard for the whole universe. God is faithful to all of His people. He's perfect in love. We talk about that. I usually say that sometime in my pastoral prayer just about every Sunday. If we fail to love like God, if we fail to love God perfectly, and if we fail to love others like Him, because God's love is always perfect. He loves His people fully and completely. He loves unconditionally. And He loves even when His love is not returned. That's when love's hard, isn't it? When it's not returned. And the love of God that we receive is the love of God that we, His people, are here to extend to those around us. I believe that God has left us here so we can love like Jesus. I believe that wholeheartedly. Otherwise, why wouldn't God just take us to heaven as soon as we come to know Him as our Savior? Let's skip all the intermediate stuff and go straight there. God leaves us here so that we can love like Jesus. That's our purpose. And God is not only perfect, but He's also both the Creator and He's the ruler of the universe. He's created it all. Nothing makes us feel more small than considering the massiveness of the universe that God has created. These last several months, we've been blessed to experience some of the incredible pictures that have been shared from the Webb telescope. Has anybody seen any of these? Did anybody see the controversy that happened last week? There was a scientist who tweeted out a picture and claimed that it was from the Webb telescope and it was some star, one of the nearest stars. It was an incredible picture. A couple days later, he admitted that it was a close-up picture of his chorizo. I don't think all the pictures that are coming back from the Webb telescope are that kind of picture. But it's incredible if you look at some of the pictures that have been shared. These pictures tell a story of a creation that is greater than we could have imagined just a few years ago. And yet, He is not just a distant and uninvolved character. He's not just a distant and uninvolved creator. He is with us. He's present. And He's closer than any human being can be to us. He's the creator. And He's the ruler. God sits on the throne of heaven. And He is the great King. Yet He is enthroned on our praises. That's what the scripture says. He's a ruler full of compassion, full of love, full of mercy for His kingdom. And when we praise Him, not only is He sitting on a throne in heaven, wherever that may be, He's enthroned on our praises. What an awesome picture. Well, how does God work in and through humanity? God and humanity work together. He works in and God works through His people. He uses us to help change the world. He chose the people of Israel as His chosen nation. But followers of Jesus today are His chosen people. When the psalmist speaks of a nation, Christ's followers from around the world are that nation, no matter where we may find ourselves living physically. God sees the activity of the earth. He sees what's going on everywhere. He's not so aloof that He does not involve Himself in life. He's active and He guides His people in all they should do. Have you felt His guiding hand in your life? Just at family camp this year, I felt His guiding hand in my life. And I needed to go to the altar and pray. Because there was something in my life that I was holding on to. I said, no, it's got to go. It's got to go. He guides us. He's our strength. And He's our shield. And He's our provider. And He's our comfort. Sixthly, let's go to the sixth one there, Derek. God loves His people. When Israel was dependent on God, and you read the Old Testament and you find that Israel was dependent on God, you found a people who found a God who supported them in their times of trouble. And when you read the Old Testament, you find a people sometimes who place their full trust and reliance on themselves. Didn't work out so well. When they put their full trust and reliance in Him, they found Him to be sufficient for every need. But yet so often they would take things and put it in their own hands. And that's when they'd find they were weak and insufficient. Why haven't we learned that lesson from the Old Testament people? You know, we have a tendency to do the same thing, don't we? We give it to God when we really feel like we can't do anything about it. But once we think it's under control, God, I'll take that back. I've got it from here. And then it all just kind of falls apart, right? God is the great King over all the earth. He loves even when people are unlovely, and even when people turn their backs on Him. His grace and His mercy were and always will be sufficient to meet the needs of His people when His people rely on Him. We can have hope in His love. The people will trust in God. There's a statement of faith and trust in God, that they will trust in Him. He and He alone will provide and protect for the people. When the people of God put their trust in God, we find that He is all we need. Amen. The people rejoice in God. And they call out that God is their King and that He'll provide for them. It's this aspect of who God is that causes us to rejoice. Trust in God brings joy. When you fully trust in Him, you can have joy. He's going to watch over His people. And He's going to care for their needs. Well, what does it mean that it's a song of praise? You know, we have reason to praise God. He's acted on our behalf. And He's going to continue to give us protection. He's going to continue to provide. He's going to continue to guide us. And we are to praise His presence and His power. He's the great King and the mighty ruler. One of the songs that we sang at family camp says it this way. And actually, I played this song right before the service this morning. You may have heard it. I think that's on the next slide there, Derek. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious. That's our God. New experiences bring reason for praise. Each day is a reason for praise. Every sunrise, every sunset is an act of grace. God is at work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. 24/7, 365, we often say. He never stops. He's always leading, even in new ways. What does it mean that He's the perfect God? Well, the nature of God is that He is totally pure and without fault. He sets the standard that we are to live by. He's the source of our holiness. When we say that God has called us to be a holy people, it's not in our own strength. It's in God helping us to live a holy life. It's in us letting God live a holy life through us. He loves perfectly. He loves His people completely and fully. And that's really the fact that separates the Christian faith from all other religions in the world. Because God loved the world so much that He sent His one and only Son to die on a cross for you and me. To live among us. To experience the challenges that we experience. Not exactly like we experience them today. But He knew hunger. He knew pain. Probably the first time He really experienced pain was when He was working with His dad in the wood in the carpenter shop. Anybody ever build anything with wood? You know you can't build something out of wood and not experience some pain sometimes. Splinters are painful. And when you're learning how to use a hammer and you hit the wrong nail, that can be painful. Jesus experienced pain, nothing like He experienced prior when He went to the cross. That's the real pain He experienced. What does it mean that God is the creator and ruler? He's the grand designer of everything. The whole earth, the whole universe is brought about by His hand. And yet we're told in the Scripture that His greatest creation was Adam and Eve. And what that means is His greatest creation is you and me. Humanity. Each one of us created is a masterpiece of God. He's the great ruler over all creation. He's the great master. And yet He gives us the choice of whether or not we're going to serve Him. He is the ruler of all humanity. There's a divine inheritance that God has given us that we might be able to bless the whole world. He's made us to be a blessing to one another. He's made us a blessing to be a blessing to the world. And God sees what we do. God sees where we live. He knows our struggles. He knows the things that we're struggling with. And He grants us protection. He helps and He provides in times of need. And I know sometimes we see things happen like the flooding in Kentucky and we wonder, God, where were you? And we see things like a child who's battling cancer or who loses that battle to cancer. And we wonder, God, where were you? Even in the most painful, difficult situations of life, we can trust God. And I can't always explain it. I can't. I think sometimes, because of the free decision-making that God has given to all of us, we've messed up the world sometimes. And we caused things like flooding. And we've caused things like cancer. Because God loves us. God loves us. We can't make it on our own. Because we're dependent on God for everything. Now, I know that goes against everything we're taught here in the United States. We're taught from a young age, you've got to be able to pull yourselves up by your own bootstraps, right? I don't even know what that means anymore. I've got boots. I've got laces, but I don't know what they mean by bootstraps. I don't even know. You've got to pull yourselves up by your own bootstraps. That's the mentality of America. But God is the one that provides for our every need. He's the source of all that's beautiful and good in this life. He watches out for us. He's there for His people. He stands behind His promises and He leads us into His will for our future. And what does it mean that we find hope in God's love? That we can trust Him. We can trust Him. We can trust Him. Did you know you can trust Him? Do you understand that you can trust Him? Do you get it? You can trust Him. When we place our full faith and trust in God, He's not going to fail us. It may not always be easy. It may not always be the way we might want it. But we find that God's power and His protection, His provision is on our side. God will live up to His end of the bargain. How long? For all of eternity. Forever. And we can rejoice in that. Knowing that He's a God who's there with us. Our joy can't be complete without God. His joy is the only one that lasts through trials and troubles. He is the source of joy in His people. Father, we thank You for the Psalms. I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to worship You and to praise You. Thank You, Lord, for this psalm of praise. Lord, I ask You to help all of us to place our trust in You completely and wholly without reservation. That we would find in You a God who is faithful and good, a God who leads us every step of the way. Guide us, Lord, now as we go from this place, may we honor and glorify You with the lives we live. And we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a reminder, the offering plate is there in the back. You can leave your offering as you retire, or you can go to Tithely and do that. Thank you once again, those of you who've joined us via our live stream this morning. It's great to have you with us, and we hope that you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you.